When last time you have heard me say Absalom or Absalom, we call him Absalom. So Absalom was not a good example. But today I want to add to that, that we can all see ourselves in Absalom. It is only by God's grace and mercy that we can say, I don't want to be like Absalom. And that is the grace that God has extended to us in Christ Jesus by him being the example of saying, no, I don't want to be like Absalom. He didn't want only to not to be like Absalom, even not to be like anyone in human history, because all have failed and have fallen short, but he didn't. And that is why he was able to represent us and to invite us to share in his sinlessness by his grace and the work that he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary, that sinners like us be made righteous, be given a song to sing, be given a new heart, faith, love, everything you can think of God. Tonight, Absalom goes on to fulfill his wants and his desires, to replace his dad, to inherit his dad while alive. And we could see the human condition at its best here. So Absalom, here in this chapter, would go on to use tricks to divert the peoples of Israel from following his father, the king, and follow him, and to divert people, not knowing what Jesus said, that positions like being a king of Israel, it's only God can call people into that. Even if they are going to fail, it's still his job. No one can take that for themselves or even to bribe others. You will fail utterly. I've heard a lot of people who try to, after South Sudan came to be an independent country, and there were a lot of positions to be filled. So self-appointed officials would just walk into offices and then would just proclaim themselves to be maybe the general director of whatever department might be. And I heard that they would be presented with a lot of files to make decisions and to go through all these things. But they don't have their skills, maybe even reading skills, numeracy and literacy, and then the file will stay there. And then they will be burdened and confronted with the situation, and after all that they do, just to take themselves away out of that situation. Well, Absalom, he will face the same thing also. But he will discover very late that it would have been better for him to sneak out and maybe to repent to avoid the disaster that was going to befall him. Well, now he went on, because when the enemy took hold of you, or I should say took hold of you, you are blinded. So he will lead you into disaster after disaster without even seeing that it happened. Absalom is not the first example. It happened with Saul, in the first Samuel. We have seen this. And then man is just doing what he is capable of doing, falling short of God's glory and seeking his own self. So here we see Absalom in verses 1 to 4. He accuses the king of negligence, and he wants to be the self-appointed, maybe leader, king and leader of God's people. Yeah, let me read again to refresh our memory. In the course of time, after he had kissed his father's hand, and that kiss, so he deceived many people around him, like saying, oh, everything is fine now between me and my father. And so I will say something about his father later on. Well, in the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him. And that was their style. So you see someone like that, so he must be something. So I tell you a story. I heard of a young Sudanese man. He was studying at the University of Khartoum back in the, maybe in 80s. So from South Sudan, and he was studying one of the most prestigious universities in Africa or even the Arab world, University of Khartoum. So people will travel from the Gulf and everywhere to go and study there. So And it's still people learning in one of the best universities and also holding into their cultural traditions and norms. So where people would just go back to their tribal land and they will have marks. So just you can picture Lam Polgak going back from Cairo University, going back all the way to South Sudan and to be marked as a new man, a tribal man. So this man, he was from Dinka, called Abiy, is another part of Dinka. So his friend went ahead of him, and so they had their head marked. So they do have more than six. So he himself, he was left behind because he had what we call supplementary exam. So the news went there, and so they were saying, oh, Deng, he was so fearful to come to be a man. And so now he just decided not to come home to the tribal land. So the news came to him, and they were very devastating. And so he put into his heart that when he finishes supplementary, he will just go back to South Sudan and will have his head marked. But he will make it as an event. So what he did after he got there, and then you have to be bold, and then after that, what he did, it was going to be a public event. And many people from the town came out to prove whether Deng was fearful or not. And so what he did, I heard that he bought for himself a box of cigarettes. And so while he was being marked, he was smoking his cigarette and then showing that he was not fearful. And then after that, and then people said, oh, yeah, he was brave. And so he spent the time to recover, and then he decided to go to his uncle's house. It's another town. And so he saw a horse, and so he went to one of the elderly people, a person of high position, and he begged him, like, look, I just had my mark, and I'm going to see my uncles and my grandfather in the other town. Could I use your horse? And said, okay, well, you can use it. And then he got on the horse. And he was going to the town of his uncles. And as he was coming, the whole town came out. They say, who is this dignitary that is coming to our town? And you see, and people were just, they came out and they were waiting for him to come. And when he came closer, they saw him and they called him with his mom's name. Because you go to your uncles, they call you by your mom's. So they said, Deng Nyubul. So this is Deng Nyubul. Deng Nyubul has a horse. That's what they said. Deng Nyubul has a horse. So Absalom was trying to do this. So to look like a king, he made this plot. He just gathered chariots and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him just to make himself a king. So verse 2 also says, he would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. Just this man, what is he thinking? Just think of yourself getting up in the morning, to stand by the road and to do what you know is wrong. To tell people, to say what he wants to say to people. So whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, what town are you from? He would answer, your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel. Then Absalom would say to him, look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king to hear you. Is that true? Is that true? It's false. So King David, even he is struggling, but I believe his kingship was still standing. There would be people in place to hear this, but Absalom is just wanting to blame the king. He sought the position by putting others down. That is what he's doing. This is what always a person who is self-promoting themselves, self-promotions, uses this. And wherever you go, you see the same. And people will just do that. The trick, they put others down so that they can shine. And if those who are doing things humbly and in the will of God, they will look at them as an obstacle. They have to move aside, to be moved aside. This is what Absalom is doing. His ego is trying to put down others. Hear this, what he says. They are not doing the job properly, and I will be the only person to do it. Only me who can do it well. Have you ever heard something like that? If I can only be appointed to that. So I heard in China, if you have a position, you have to bribe the people ahead of you to keep the job. And so you may give even the half of your salary to get the other half so that you remain there. So this man is doing the same thing. So what is the result? So we read the results from verse 5 to 6. He stole the hearts of the people by his hypocritical devices. And so these devices are powerful to take the heart of the simple. Yeah, so here we see there is a dilemma. The people are just not really receiving a spiritual ministry, because in Israel, there's a people that are called to be godly people, God's people. And so we are to be aware of these things. Sometimes when we are slack and we are slow to see the deceit, so the whole congregation of God's people could be misled. But we are to be vigilant to see where the error is creeping, is coming in. Let us watch out, lest there be Absalom in our midst to ruin God's plans for his own people. So this is what he says in verse 5. Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. He would kiss the person, isn't it? That is what the Bible is saying, isn't it? And instead, the opposite. So self-abasing, isn't it? That is so false also. False humility, you can call that. False humility, just to get something in return. It's not a God-appointed real position. Absalom behaved, so this is a set pattern of behavior, the Bible says, behaved in this way toward all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. Just imagine, he is wanting to do these things, to take all the glory for himself, and so he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. What did he do again? He lied to the king, supposedly his father, and now the word king is just running. So there is no relationship, as I pointed out last time. That he was going to Hebron only to declare himself king of Israel and using God's name in vain. We read this in verse 7. At the end of 4 years, this has taken a while. 4 years doing the same thing. Even King David. Really. I don't know what happened with him. I observed something here. I said he was so reluctant. Because Absalom came to him and after 4 years of his deceits and tricks, Absalom said to the king, let me go to Hebron and fulfill a vow I made to the Lord. Just imagine that. What did I say here? Absalom was just using God's name in vain and claiming that he has a vow to fulfill. While your servant, that is what he's telling his dad, is the king. The Bible doesn't say his father. While your servant was living at Geshur in Aram, I made the vow, if the Lord takes me back to Jerusalem, I will worship the Lord in Hebron. So that is the plans he made. That is what he said. And now let me see the response of the king. His whole attitude and responses to Absalom shows disengagement and lack of interest in Absalom's affair. Little he knew that he is plotting something against him. Had he known that, would he let him do that? A man appointed to be God's leader. Now his heart is so cold toward taking all his responsibilities. Just imagine someone who is not equipped for the leadership to come and lead God's people. So the result would be disaster. All people will be defeated. There will be no seeking of the Lord. You see, even King David in his weakness, you see, he sought the Lord and he was spared. Because after all, even in the Old Testament, it is all by grace of God. It's God who raises up. King David's hearts were so bad. That is what we see here in verse 9. The king said to him, go in peace. So he went to Hebron. Go in peace. Was he going really in peace? No. His heart was full of deceit, hypocrisy, and also murder, and also self-promotion. That was Absalom. And then he went there so that he can overthrow the kingship. his king, the king, supposedly his father. Well, let us go back to Absalom. So it's just like a play, isn't it? Like this is Shakespeare or Shakespeare. It's just like it's between King David and the self-promoted Absalom. Now Absalom, in verse 10, Absalom, the self-appointed king in Hebron, is started to put measures in place to consolidate his grip on power. That is what he's trying to do. So this man is very organized. He would be a good politician in our times, isn't it? Because he is not sleeping. He is planning, isn't it? So this study should be studied by the world politician, isn't it, this book, so that they could see what they can do. Well, actually, they don't need this book. They are doing it anyway. Isn't it? So we had by-elections yesterday in Mulgrave. I didn't hear the news, actually. So we went and we voted anyway, but it's my wife. So I've been living always in Swingvale and Noble Park, and so making themselves, identifying themselves with the people. You see, so we are the right candidates, and so we can do the best job because we know the things that people are suffering. And you see, the moment they got there, actually, no, they will use other real excuses, saying that, well, the government has no budgets and things like that, and the rules does not allow. So now they become defensive, really, even before against the people they're supposed to represent. This man now is just like trying to get there. So he sends secret messengers throughout the tribes of Israel. That is what he first did when he got there. So he is, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpets, then say Absalom is king in Hebron. You see, so that is what he's saying. And so 200 men came with him or accompanied him from Jerusalem, deceived by the half-hearted kings toward his son, verse 10 and 11. So that is what he is doing. So these men who came with him, they thought that case, like maybe there is a harmony between the king. And so he was being accompanied. They didn't know that this man has plans. And actually, they didn't agree on anything like that. So he just deceived people. So they were invited as guests and went quite innocently, the Bible says. See, the Bible is a great book. So even revealing to us that these people will not to be blamed, are not to be blamed of what's happened. So knowing nothing about the matter, while Absalom was offering sacrifices, now he is a priest himself, offering sacrifices. So like what we heard this morning, Uzziah doing the same thing. So are not people of Israel acting consistently with their attitudes toward the God of Israel, their God, rebelling and taking really roles that are not prescribed in the book of Torah and the Bible? So now we are told while Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, to come from Gilo, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained momentum or strength, and Absalom following kept on increasing. So this is what happens when ego and self-admiration meet together. He was so handsome, and also he's desiring the position. All these things, they prepare him for his disaster. So moving to the New Testament quickly, briefly, I said we could see ourselves in Absalom. And when the Zebedee's mother came to Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want? Jesus asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. A mother seeking a position of honor and glory for her son. And her son did not rebuke her. because also somehow they have also the desire to be the greatest in the kingdom. And only to be surprised, Jesus said, yes, you will suffer with me, but these places of honor belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father in heaven. It's God who appoints. It's God who calls. It's God who equips. And when we follow him, he will raise us to positions not only of honor, but also suffering, so that his name might be glorified. That is why Absalom is a bad example. We are not to seek things for ourselves, but to seek the Lord himself, who raises up his own people to position of honor. And honor, the greatest honor would be to be protected by God, even from things we see. Our hearts to be filled with grace, faith, and also for whatever he has called us to do, to seek his blessings and anointing and guidance, so that we might be successful in that he has called us to do, so that he will say later on, faithful servant. And Jesus gave us the example on how to be great, something Absalom failed dramatically or disastrously. And not so with you. That is what Jesus says. He says, these thoughts should not be in the people of Israel. So when the other disciples, they were very angry. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Now see Absalom just trying to call people to follow him, even though he was not a Gentile, but he broke the rules, the word of God. And the high official exercised authority over them. Not so with you in a state. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, must be the last, must be the first, the servant, to serve the all. And we know the position of servant is lower than the position of master. For we are to be servant to serve the master. A master. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, like really born servant. Just as the Son of Man himself, giving us an example of himself, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that is how low he went, so that we will be raised to a position of honor. If Absalom waited and honored his father and did not kill his half-brother and sought to delight himself in the law of the Lord God, Psalm 1, see, he would have been a blessing to people of Israel, to his own house. We were told that he got 3 boys and 2 daughters, one of whom was described to be very beautiful. So he was going to be a good grandfather, but he didn't want to go that way. So Absalom, a conspiracy, is a bad example, should not be seen in the church, should not be seen where God is to be honored. So we pray to the Lord God that he will give us hearts, not like of the Absalom, but maybe hearts that are sprinkled by the precious blood of Jesus, and for us also to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and our Savior Master, who did not please himself, but desired to take the last position, the lowest, so that we could be raised from our lowest position point, when we were defeated by sins and cast away from the presence of God, who restored us to position of honor himself, to reign with him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a grace, what a privilege. Is there any position that we can crave, that so we can we forfeit this position of honor, sitting with Christ our Lord, by using tricks and devices that he will abhor and would hate so much, and that will just qualify us to be denied access into the presence of his Father. We should recall to our minds his words when he said, like he, there will be a great welcoming party in heaven. Faithful servant, well done. You see, you didn't seek the highest position, but you sought humbly and truthfully the last position, not because you want to be brought up, because some people can also have a false notion of humility. But we are to have the right humility. The humility that is created to us or made possible to us by the Lord himself through the work of the Holy Spirit, guided by his truth.